Okay, now, Beitza Perkei Mishnehei. Here we get something interesting, which is something that doesn't have a Tchum Shabbos, and that would be fire, the actual flame itself. Because that flame, it's not a thing, not a chayfet. So it will, we'll have applications of that in just a moment. Some background information on the Mishnah. I mentioned briefly a moment ago, Me'ilah. Let me just speak it out for a second more. Me'ilah is an Isser from the Torah. It actually carries with it a special punishment called you have to replace the object, adding a chomach, and bring an Asham Me'ilah, a special kind of guilt offering. What it is if you misappropriate or misuse or get benefit from based on Mikdash property. It's kind of like stealing, except A, it's not from a private person, it's from the base of Mikdash, and B, you don't actually have to steal it per se. That's what I call like misappropriation. In other words, for example, if the base Mikdash owns a pony and you ride the pony and then you walk away from it, that's Me'ilah. Even though, of course, like you never took the pony anywhere, you just got benefit from it. So that's called Me'ilah, it's also to do. Yeah, it's like, yeah, but it's, there are times when you're not getting, there are situations where it wouldn't be considered gezeila if it would be a regular person's object. But in the base English, any hana from a private person, any like hana will translate loosely here as benefit that could sell for a price, then that would be asr. That would be asr to get on Yom Tov, asr to get benefit from Hekdesh, that's called Me'ilah. So we're going to talk about Me'ilah in a second. Nothing to do with Yom Tov per se at all. Then there are certain things which are only asr, that there's no way to get hana from it in truth, midoraisa, because it's not a real quantifiable benefit that you're getting. But it's like the rabbi said, don't do it anyway. Don't use this. Like, you know, using the light of a flame would be a good example of that. You can't sell that. There's no physical thing that you're getting. It's not considered a hana to share someone's light, technically. And therefore, there would be no me'ilah from using a basic mikdash's light. But the rabbi said, don't use their burning coals that are on fire for light, unless you come to actually do me'ilah by playing with the coal itself. So the way that the rabbis talk about, when they refer to something like that, that it's usher b'durabanan to lest you do me'ilah with it, so to speak, because you can come through something else, they call that lo nanin v'lo mo'alin, which means you may not get benefit from it. Don't try to draw benefit from it in a loose sense of the word, like a loose sense of hana. But if you did lo mo'alin, you're still not over me'ilah because you actually didn't get a benefit from it. Like using the light, which you're benefiting from in the loosest sense of the word, but in the halachic sense of the word, that's not considered me'ilah because not hana proper. Okay? And the last thing we'll start seeing now, if something is hefker banish mashus, what's going to be? It's basically going to have its own tchum. And then it'll be like, we saw in Erevin, it was actually Machlokas Tanaim, but either the Tanaim hold, either it has its own tchum, its kona at 2,000 amos, or it's kona that it gets the tchum of whoever acquires it. This Mishnah goes like the latter opinion, I believe. It's hefker, and whoever picks it up, it'll take on their tchum. Okay? So, now Mishnah Hay says inside. Hagacheles. Hagacheles is the coal. They translate it as coal? Burning coal. Fine, good. Burning coal. Yeah? Karagle habalim. Whoever owns the burning coal, its tchum is that of its owner. Vishalheves, but the fire component of it, the flame. Shalevis is flame. The flame on the burning coal, right? Bechol makom, it has no tchum. In other words, what does that mean? That means you can come light your cigarette off of my fire and take your cigarette and go. And the fact, even though you know that's usher, but the isser won't be an issue of transferring out of tchumen because the fire can go wherever it pleases. The point is, you're transferring. So speaking it out, in other words, I gave you that with my book. My book is stuck to my tchum. If you want to borrow it and read it, you have to read it in my tchum. But if you want to borrow my fire, quote unquote, borrow my fire, you can take it and give it to your neighbor and to his neighbor and to his neighbor, and it can go around the whole wide world. It's not a problem. Okay. I would think so. Either a misayeya or at least a misayeya, depending on how much you incite it, or you could be over this or the raisa perhaps of lifnei iver. Yeah. Okay, fine. Not getting back to that topic. Gachelish shel hektish. What happens if instead of a privately owned flaming coal, you have a hektish owned one? So mo'al and ba'. You can have meal on that if you decide to use it to roast your marshmallows. Not off the flame per se, but off the heat of the coal. or anything else that matter. I don't know what else you'd use it for. To make yourself a nice dirt biscuit, as the Chazal did. So that would be Me'ilah. However, v'shalhevach, the flame part of it, lo nenen v'lo mo'alin. You shouldn't try to get benefit from the flame of Hektish's coals, but if you do, you're not over Me'ilah. If you read by the light of the burning coals, you won't be over Isra Me'ilah, but you shouldn't do it lest you come to start fiddling with the coal themselves, which would be awesome. Fine. Now, Hamotzi Gecheles Rishus Arabim Chayiv. If a person, now we're in Shabbos here, not Yom Tov, if a person would transfer from out of his house a burning coal into the public place, the Rishus Arabim, will be Chayiv. There's no real Chiddush there. The Chiddush is, Vishalhevis, if you manage cleverly to transfer just the fire into a public place, Pater. What's the case? We're not talking about where you take a toothpick and then you transfer it, obviously, and the toothpick is transferring. Basically, you got a big bonfire like in your backyard, and it's against the fence, and you start fanning it so the flames, like, you know, are now stretched over, or I guess maybe they leap over and they transfer into the public domain. Forget any other issues of anything else. The point is that chutzah is not a problem. The fact that you cause the fire to move out of your domain into a rishus rabim, it's not a chutzah issue because there's no mashos to the fire. Okay. Because you blew on it and it moved, let's say, into the Rishus HaRabim.
Okay, so would it be like took a twig?
Well, then the twig is a problem.
Right.
It's the fire part. If you manage cleverly to move the fire without anything.
Long way from the line.
Yeah,
again, you land it almost in the middle and it lights, but then it catches on to the other side.
Well, then you're not doing. Then you're not doing anything. They're not doing anything at all because then what did you do?
The fire's moving.
Yeah, but that's like the refrigerator and the Shabbos clock. That's something different. That's okay. That's nothing at all. This is, I'm saying, much worse. I'm saying on Shabbos, you just say, I think it'd be really nice to have fire over the street. So you like start, you know, getting a billows and start pumping away to make the fire leap over through the rug. So you didn't, and all that transfers is just flame. That's nothing. Forget the damage it causes, if any, and so on and so forth. There's no chutzah issue. Okay. Now, Bor Shel Yachid, this is the, you know, you have a water cistern. It's privately owned, so therefore, Karag LeYachid, the water inside the pit, belongs to the owner, and therefore its tchum is like the owner's tchum. Vishel Anshe Osa Ir, now this, if it's like a public water cistern, so it shares the tchum of the people of the city. Karag LeAnshe Osa Ir. The Gemara starts to explore this a little bit, it gets a little technical here. We saw before Shutfin. Remember we had the soccer ball a minute ago? Never said it's restricted both ways. Here it's a little different. So if you'd be an outsider, you're coming from out of town, so indeed you would not be able to carry that water anywhere other than the place which is accessible to every member of the city. How would you know where that is? If they made air in all different directions? Don't ask me. It's not my problem. The point is it would be restricted in that way. And conceivably, it would be unmovable. Conceivably, one guy made his air to the full north, and one to the full south, to not include the city, then there would be no way to move that water at all. For an outsider, however, if you're a local resident, you could move the water throughout the city, and the reason why is because essentially Brera, kicking in here again, will say, because I have water and you have water in the pit, so whatever water I take out will be my water, and will be confined to my air and the water that leaves your pit. Remember, it's not one soccer ball, it's countless particles of water, so we'll use Brera to say the ones I took out were from my share, and therefore have my tchum. Yeah, is that clear? The outsider, he wasn't invited, to he's not, no chelik in my water, therefore he's not considered to, no Brera will help him to say he can move it. That's a technical point, but yeah, got it? Okay, great. And finally, Vishal Oli Bavel, the third kind of water pit, is just a random hole in the ground with water inside, somewhere between here and there, so the people coming from Bavel can have water to drink along the way. In other words, it's hefker water. So that hefker water, karagli hamamale, will take on the tchum of the person who fills up, draws from that water. In other words, it'll adopt his tchum. In other words, hefker items, according to this Tana here, don't have any tchum until you acquire them. When you acquire them, they take on your tchum. Those machlokas tonight, if you remember, the other approach was that it has its own tchum. It's got its own 2,000 almost from where it is. But this is going like the other opinion. Okay?